But guess what? That's the process. And so he says down there, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the way, when we're bought, guess what we are in our minds? Worldly. And so we have to get our minds transformed, he says, by the renewing of your mind. And then what can I do? I can prove what is that what? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's going to come with a price if I'm going to be a living sacrifice. And by the way, the amount that you give to be transformed will be the amount that you get transformed. If Mrs. Dawson buys the Chicago Bears fabric and she doesn't make all of it right, guess what? That part that she doesn't make right is not going to be made right. But my wife is a perfectionist when it comes to sewing, and she would make it right. Amen. God wants to make us right, but he's not going to force us. Amen. Can we force our kids to do something? You really can't. Now, they may do it outwardly, but guess what the inside is saying? I'm doing it, but I really don't want to do it. The inside is saying, I'll obey, but I'm really, you know, when I get older, this is not what I'm going to do. There's a difference between obeying and submission. A big difference. And God wants us to be submissive so he can transform us. Amen. And you'll have joy in it. Amen. All right. So what does the next one say here? Let's go over to page number 21. Oh, man. Philippians 4:13. Let's go over there. I've got to be gentle with this area because I bought my old Bible today. Y'all know what that means, right? It's Philippians. Figures it had to be Philippians. Amen. And Philippians 4:13. And let's read that one together.
There's only one Philippians in here.
Hey, praise God. So I'm ginger with this page. Amen. All right, let's read that one together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And this one is entitled The Power to Succeed. So the way that you and I can succeed is through Christ. Now, the first question to settle is this. Does God want us to do all things? According to his will. So we've got to settle that first. He doesn't want me to do everything, but everything that he wants me to do, I can do. But he doesn't want me to do everything. Many Christians will run around like chickens with their heads cut off because they're trying to do everything. And these aren't the things that God would have them to do. And then they get discouraged and sometimes often get mad at God. When it doesn't get done, God, you're supposed to help me with this thing because I can do all things. And God said, but I didn't tell you to do that thing. And so you're on your own, kid. I didn't tell you to do that. So now that's why you're pulling your hair out. That's why you're, you know, looking all bad about it because I didn't tell you to do that.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes.
But he says here, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So I've got to learn that lesson that there are certain things that God wants me to do and there are certain things God does not want me to do. It can best be done by someone else. Amen. And so now of these three so far, how many have memorized Romans 12:1? Anybody? Okay. How many have memorized Romans 12:2? Okay. How many have memorized Philippians 4:13? Amen. So good already. Amen. Good. All right. So we'll learn some more truths about that. All right. Let's go over to the next one here. Page 29. And I'm going to be ginger as I turn away from this one. Galatians 2:20. Let's go over there. Galatians 2:20. How many of y'all like funerals? We don't like funerals. Galatians 2:20. By the way, speaking of funerals, I mentioned this on Wednesday. Some of you weren't there. Dana Wilson passed away this past week. She had changed her name, and so nobody knew where she was at. And I got a call from a friend of hers, and she passed away on, what day was that, honey? Tuesday morning?
Wow.
Yeah, Tuesday morning, I think it was, she passed away. I got a phone call and got down to hospice, and she had passed away about 11:30. I got there now about noon, right when her daughter got there as well. And she had been in and out of the hospital. She changed her name because she was being harassed by somebody. And she had changed her name to Summer Young. And I got the call, said, Summer Young wants you to come to hospice and see her. And I said, I don't know a Summer Young. And they said, well, she says she's come to your church before. And I said, well, I don't know a Summer Young. I said, well, I'll come anyway. And I went down there, and it happened to be Dana. And then that's when I got the story of what was going on. And so she had passed away. Her daughter said that she was ready to go. She wanted to be with the Lord. She was tired of suffering, tired of being ill because she had gone through a bad bout of illnesses. So do pray for the family. I got a chance to minister to the family. They're going to cremate her body and spread her ashes. Those were her wishes. So do pray for Dana Wilson's children. She's got two children here in Tucson, a daughter and a son. The son's relationship with her was very bad, and they did not see each other, did not talk to each other, so he didn't even know at the time. And she's got two brothers. One's in Michigan, one is in Colorado, and a bad relationship with one of them as well. So the daughter asked, please pray for the family that this may help her. You know, just have some peace and glory. Of course, we know she's in glory. She's going to have peace anyway. But I think what they meant was to have peace amongst themselves here and have peace of mind. So pray for Dana's family members that are here. But she did pass away this week. And I let the folks know on Wednesday, but you may not have been there. So just that you know. So Galatians 2:20. Let's go ahead and read that verse together. Here we go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the flesh's funeral. What does that mean, the flesh's funeral? What does that mean? Diana? Putting ourselves to death and letting Christ live his life through us. Because again, remember chapter number one, what am I? I'm supposed to be a living sacrifice. We normally think of dead sacrifices. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, put them on the altar, it burns up, it's over, it's done. Uh-huh. But then the Bible says we should be living sacrifices. So what is a sacrifice? It's something that I dedicate to be given for a purpose. Now, if it's a dead sacrifice, you know, you chop the head off, drain the blood, and you put it on the altar, and we burn it. But if I'm a living sacrifice, then the process is different. I say I'm going to separate myself and give myself totally for God to use. And so now, but I still have a flesh. And guess what my flesh wants to do? What does it want to do? Want to be a mess. Amen. What do you say? It wants to be worldly. In other words, the flesh wants to do what it wants to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen. How many times somebody asks you to do something, and in your mind, you want to say no.
No. Yeah.
You just do, no. I don't want to do that. But you know that's not the right thing to say. And so you say, okay, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I know I'm supposed to say yes, but I really don't want to do this. You know, sometimes things happen. You know what I mean? It just does. You know, sometimes you want to do it. Sometimes you don't. My wife got locked out of the car the other day. You know, these new keys, you know, in these new cars, you can't, you know, do the, what do you call that thing with the cops used to use? Yeah. That don't work no more. You know, and now everything's computerized. So if you do happen to push the car, alarms go off and all this kind of stuff. And so I had just gotten to church. My wife called me. My keys are locked in the car.
Oh, no.
I thought, amen. Praise the Lord.
Lord,
I'm thinking, it took me 25 minutes to get here. It's going to take me 25 minutes to get back home. It's going to take me 25 minutes to get back here. And then when I go back home, at the end of the day, it's another 25 minutes.
Or more.
I said, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And so I thought, oh, man. Where's that spare key when you need it? Oh, I got it. Duh. And, you know, sometimes when, you know, things happen, you know, you think, man, I really don't want to do that. But guess what? I know I need to do it.
Amen.
And when it comes to the things of God, sometimes we really don't want to do something. We know we should do it. And it's a struggle because oftentimes the flesh is alive. And that's why it's called your flesh is fruity. He got to crucify that bad boy. He got to go. The old man does not like the new man. Did y'all ever recognize that?
Oh, yeah.
If the old man has to say yes, what does the new man want to say?
Yes.
He wants to say no. So there's a constant battle. Whatever the old man wants to do, the new man does not want to do. That's just it. I mean, if the lights are on, they can't be off. And if they're off, they can't be on. One or the other has got to be. If I'm awake, I can't be asleep. And if I'm asleep, I can't be awake. If I'm walking, I'm not sitting. If I'm sitting, I'm not walking. I'm either go or I'm either stop. Both can't be in operation. Stop and go are two opposites.
Yes, sir, it is.
The flesh and the spirit are two opposites.
Yes, it is.
They do not agree. Amen. The Bible says they're contrary one to another, as a matter of fact. And so there's got to be a funeral. Now, how often should we have this funeral? Every day. And by the way, when you talk about every day, when is the flesh normally going to rear his ugly head? Rose? That can be a prime opportunity, yes. When you're sick, that's another prime opportunity. Brother Hall? As soon as you get to work, amen, that's another prime opportunity, especially if you're working around all unsaved and you're the only saved person with a biblical worldview, amen. Everybody else thinks totally opposite of you. So if you say right, they say wrong. Amen. And so there are going to be times that we're going to have a funeral several times during the day. Amen. Shane at the U of A, you're definitely in trouble. You're in big trouble. Amen. My wife used to go there, so I know it was bad when she went. It's bad now. Amen.
Amen.
So what am I saying here? The flesh has got to have this funeral on a regular and in a routine basis. When should I have the funeral? When I recognize that the flesh is alive. I got to kill him back off again. If I don't kill him back off, what happens? He gets stronger. I go in the wrong way. I listen to him.
Yeah.
Amen. Because he begins to control. And you can only listen to the spirit or the flesh. You can't listen to both. Because one is telling you to go right. One is telling you to go left.
Yes, sir.
If you try to go right and left at the same time, where do you go?
Nowhere.
Or you veer a little bit off the street. Amen. All right. So your flesh is funeral is number four. Let's go to the next one here. And that is page 39, and 39 is 1 Corinthians 10:13, and how many have committed 1 Corinthians 10:13 to memory? By the way, if you never have, that is a very, very good one. It's a long one, but it's a very good one, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and how many committed the last one, Galatians 2:20 to memory? Amen. Matter of fact, isn't that Pastor Bennett? No, his is for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Is that Pastor Bennett's? Brother Baldwin's? Okay, I thought that was his. Okay. So 1 Corinthians 10:13, let's read that one there. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Okay? So the greatest promise about temptation, the greatest promise about temptation, God is going to give us a way to get through. By the way, think about it. If I'm already going to be a living sacrifice, giving myself to God, I'm going to be transformed. I want this power to succeed. I'm going to have this funeral. I've got to recognize I will be tempted. The devil does not give up easy. He does not want to let go of you. If he's had you for any length of time, he does not want to let you go. It's not like you when you want to give stuff away to the rummage sale or when you want to give stuff. You don't want that anymore. And so you're giving it away to Goodwill. You're selling it or whatever. You are valuable.
Yes.
And the devil knows how valuable you are.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to continue to use you so that he can exploit you. God wants to use you to develop you for his glory and his honor. And so the devil does not want to give up. And so it's good to have this verse as a great promise about temptation, because the devil will say, you don't want to give yourself up as a total sacrifice.
Right.
Just give up half of yourself and leave the other half to you.
Sacrifice.
Sounds good, doesn't it? Worldly wise, it does. But not spiritually, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Because I couldn't control him before.
Go,
the Bible says, but the tongue can no man tame. The devil will say, you can control your tongue. Just use some self-control. Well, it would be good if I had some. Because when people speak to me, I don't know about you, I just want to tell them off.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And sometimes if I don't have the spirit in control, I will tell them some things that they don't need to know. And that I don't need to say.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. Amen. So you and I will be tempted, but it says there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. We're all tempted in the same way, basically, is what he's saying.
Yes, sir.
He says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you or permit you to be tempted above that you're able. He says, not going to give you what you can't control with the Spirit's power. But he says, but will the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it? So there's an escape route sometimes, but also sometimes he says, I'll give you my grace so that you can deal with it.
Amen.
Because sometimes I'm not going to get you out of it. Amen. What did David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I got to walk it.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm not going to airplane you across it.
Right.
I'm not going to hot balloon you across it. Sometimes we've got to go through it. And so the temptation is going to be there. By the way, was Jesus tempted? So if Jesus was tempted, what do you think is going to happen to us?
We're going to get tempted.
Big time.
Big time.
And it will take us down very, very quickly. Amen. All right, let's go over to the next truth here. Amen. And we come to page what?
49.
49. All right, 1 John 1:9. And this was a very good friend of mine when I was a very, very young Christian. 1 John 1:9. And let's go ahead and read that one as soon as I get over there. All right, let's read that one together. All right, here we go. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, by the way, we need that on a daily basis.
Yes, sir.
Our thoughts get us in trouble. Our mind gets us in trouble. Our tongue gets us in trouble. Our eyeballs get us in trouble. Our ears get us in trouble. Everything about us gets us in trouble. Amen. And so this one is keeping fellowship with God. And by the way, we do want to keep fellowship with God. This, when I was a young Christian, it seemed like, I mean, I had just gotten saved and my whole life was just full of sin. I mean, it was just sin, sin, sin. Everything I did, my thoughts were sinful. My words were sinful. What I want to do, I was just full of sin. I thought, what do I do? And I was taught 1 John 1:9. Oh, I fell in love with it quick. I wrote it down on a 3x5 card. I put it in my wallet. I put it on my desk, and I had that verse there. Amen. I thought, oh. You know, I had somebody come in my office. And I didn't deal with them like a Christian should deal with them. And when they left, I felt bad. There's my verse. There it is. Then the next person walked in. Okay, I'm going to be kind this time. Well, now look at that verse. Oh,
here we go.
That verse, where is it at again? We can feel, okay, I'm going to do better this time. Then the boss comes in. And it was a continual battle for me, man. I mean, it was rough when I first got saved. I said, Lord, I'm nothing but a big fat sinner. And the Lord's like, duh. Why do you think you had to be saved? Amen. You're rotten to the core. Ain't nothing good in you, amen. But I'm going to salvage that, and I'm going to save you, and I'm going to recreate you and transform you. And there's a process. You've got to be aware of your sin. And that's what happened. I had to become aware of my sin so that God could deal with me about my sin. When you're not aware of your sin, guess what? God can't deal with you about your sin. But when you become aware of your sin, you say, okay, Lord, I need you to help me out with this. I'm in bad shape. I'm in bad shape. And that's the reality that I had to come to. I'm in bad shape. And I saw myself, and so I said, man, Lord, I want to keep fellowship with you, but man, this is a hard road to hoe, amen. I said, your steps seem like they're pretty large here, amen. Trying to walk that thing, amen.
Yes,
but God said, I'm going to take you step by step. I'm going to take you little by little. You know, isn't it great that God doesn't take you all at once, just wipe away all your sin and expect you to walk a brand new life? We would be like this. We wouldn't know what to do because we're so used to a sinful life.
Yes, sir.
We are. If we'd be honest, we're used to a sinful life and a sinful lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And the things that we did, God said, okay, let me take that away. Mm-hmm. Let me take that away. Let me take that away.
Yep.
Let me take that away. It's sort of like having clothes. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you have clothes, you have lint on your clothes.
Yeah.
And you try to start taking the lint off.
Yeah.
Can you take all the lint off at once? What do you normally have to do? Let me get that one. Oh, and then you see another one. And then you see another one. And then you see another one. And you start taking them off. And it's this process.
Sure is.
It is. Now, you can be like some folks say, well, I don't care. I'm just going to wear it with lint on it. Then people look at you crazy.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
But you can allow God to take the lint out of your life, and we call that sin. And the more I do, I can keep fellowship with God. And so 1 John 1:9, how many have committed that one to memory? I know I have. Glory to God. I use that one all the time. Amen. All right, let's go over to the next chapter here. And that's just chapter 6. We're going to finish up the next week. 59, page 59, let's go over there. Oh, if you've ever been in my office, this one's on my desk.
Oh, yeah.
I've got two of my favorite verses, Romans 8:28 and Joshua 24:15. Romans 8:28 is on my desk. Let's go over to Romans 8. I committed this to memory very early on in my Christian life. When I found out about Joshua, I committed that one to my heart as well early on in my Christian life. And I said, you know what? I want my whole house to serve God. I don't want to just do this by myself. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And they give us 29 as well. And so let's read those two verses here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All things for your good. Amen. Now, do we like everything that God does? No. But is everything for our good? Yes. Joshua loves chocolate cake. My wife baked him a chocolate cake last night. But Joshua does not like plain flour. Nor does Joshua like eggs. Both of which are in the cake. Joshua would love to eat the food, the icing all by itself. That's on the cake too.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't want the oil. That's in the cake too. He likes water, so he'll drink that. But in order to get the cake, Mrs. Dawson's got to get all the ingredients together and mix them together to get the cake. The ingredients by themselves aren't good. Joshua's not going to eat a teaspoonful of salt. But guess what? That's in the cake.
Yes, sir, it is.
See what I'm saying? In order for our lives to be what God wants them to be, God's got to do a lot of different things and mix those things up to bring the person forward. Sometimes we don't like the things that he does. And it doesn't always taste good and feel good. But guess what? That's what God does. And so he allows things to come into our lives. And the Bible says, and we know that all things work together. There's the key word.
For good.
Aren't you glad it doesn't say that all things are good for you? Because I'd say, Lord, I don't see anything good in this at all. But God says, you don't see anything good, but it works together.
Yes, sir, it does, Pastor.
For good. It does. Was it good for Joseph to go down into slavery? Slavery's not good for anybody.
No, it isn't.
But it worked together.
Yes, sir, it did.
For good.
Yes, it did.
See what I'm saying? And so things that happen in your life and in my life, we may not like.
Right.
May not like it at all. But according to Romans 8:28 and 29, all things are for our good. And so early on in my life, I got a hold of that principle. I got a hold of that. And I started to say, okay, Lord, In order for you to work in my life, I've got to see that you're allowing this to happen for my good. And I don't always like it. But when I begin to think of Romans 8:28, it makes it feel a whole lot better. And it makes me understand the process of what he's trying to do. I want to be at the end that beautiful cake like Mrs. Dawson made. I want to be that beautiful masterpiece at the end that God makes. But I've got to recognize to get that, there's going to be some things in my life that God wants to do. And by the way, he's doing some things in our lives right now that you won't see the benefit until down there. Some things that you're seeing the benefit of now, God did back there. And now those things that work together, you're seeing the development of it now. And it's a continual process until we get to glory. And so all things for your good. And we've got to really understand that we serve a good God. And he is not out to make your life miserable. That's my key saying. It's 25 minutes after. Amen. God is not out to make our lives miserable. Sometimes, don't you think that?
Yep.
We don't really blame it on God. Who do we blame it on? Well, we don't. There you go. We blame it on other people. And what we do is we blame it on other people. You're just trying to make my life miserable. But you don't understand sometimes God allowed that to happen. So who am I actually blaming in the process? It's your fault, Brother Hall, that I can't X, Y, and Z. Really? Last time I checked, all things work together for good.
Good. Yes, sir.
So I'm actually blaming God for letting Brother Hall do X, Y, and Z.
Yes, sir.
See how we get that? Amen? And so by proxy, we're saying it's your fault, but it's really God who we're blaming.
Yes, sir.
When I was in my office with the rack, guess what I was saying? God, you don't know what you're doing. By allowing, you don't know what you're doing. Because if you did, you wouldn't allow this. But all things work together for good. Amen. One more and then we're going to quit. What's the next one here? 65. Let's go over there. All things for your good. 65. How to please God. Amen. That's a good one to stop on. Hebrews 11. Let's go over there real quick. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. How many have committed this one to memory? Amen. I know I have. Hebrews 11, 6. And, you know, Romans 11, 6 doesn't say the same thing. All right, so let me get over there. Okay, here we go. Let's read that one. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so this one says, how to please God? How are we going to please God? By faith.
Yes, sir.
By faith. By faith is just saying, God, I believe what you said, and I'm going to do something as a result of what you said. That's faith. I believe what you said, and I'm going to do something based upon what you said. In a nutshell, that's it. What does it say? But without faith, it is what?
Impossible
to please him. Amen. So without the faith of believing what God said and acting upon it, I really can't please him. Let's go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever what? Believeth. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. So in other words, God is not going to save you, can't save you unless you believe. It goes right back to that. Believe. I've got to believe that God said it, God means it, then I've got to apply it to my life. Amen. And so how to please God? We've got to, by faith, understand what God said, take him at his word, and then do it. Amen. All right, we're going to stop with that one. We'll do the rest of these next week, and then we'll start on chapter 1. Your memory verse is going to be the first verse of the lesson, which is Romans 12, 1. I believe most of us have memorized that at some time in our lives before, but Romans 12, 1. Remember that we stopped on lesson 8, and we'll pick up on that next week. Go over the rest of those, and then we'll start on number 1. Memory verse is Romans 12, 1. If you've already memorized that, great. Say it to Miss Rose. Amen. And she'll give you credit for that. Rose, raise your hand up. Miss Rose, she's right there. You can say it to her. now. You can say it to her next week. You can say it to her after class. Amen. But Romans 12, 1, again, transforming truth. The whole idea behind this is taking the truth of God's word, applying it to our life to transform our lives into more of what God would have us to be. Amen. Romans 12, 1 is our verse for next week. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the power that it has. Thank you for the things that we will learn over the next several weeks and months. And Lord, I pray that our lives would continue to be transformed by the glory of God. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying for us. But Lord, more importantly, raising again the third day so that we can be saved. Thank you for these important truths that we have here before us. And help us to meditate on them, memorize them, but Lord, then apply them as our lives are transformed week by week. We thank you and love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless the refreshments next door. Amen.